Hello and welcome to Fine Print, the double scrutiny of a story and its coverage with me, Amir Arfa. First, as always, we start with a quick check of the big print. Big print goes. Almost 2 weeks after parliamentary elections in Lebanon, a bit of hindsight, and of course a look toward what lies ahead for the country. Time magazine, Lebanon votes, will Hezbollah win? This, of course, on June the 7th. And then, on June 11th, Economist, a win for the West. And the opposition, including Hezbollah, even accepted defeat graciously. The National goes, Lebanon's election surprise. After victory for the Hezbollah-led opposition had been widely anticipated, the constellation of factors tipped the balance in the March 14th coalition's favor, bringing an end to the jinx of Western support, at least for now.
If you were talking about winning the majority, the parliamentarian majority, they didn't win it, of course. The 14th of March coalition, they won the majority. But this does not reflect the genuine issues. We do accept the results of the elections that the 14th March won the parliamentary majority, but the popular majority is still somewhere else. This is because the electoral law in Lebanon is not just, is not genuine, and is not authentic as to reflect the real constituencies, the way they should be represented.
A win for the West, by Economist, goes, although some 54% of voters backed the opposition, they did so in places where more votes produced fewer MPs. Those who voted against the resistance tended to vote in districts with proportionally more weight.
Now, if you talk about the West and the Western media, they wanted to depict the whole issue as a deep political division in Lebanon. It is indeed a deep political division in the country, but I don't believe that to talk about defeat or winning the 14th of March coalition themselves, let me say that, represented by Saad al-Hariri, did not talk about this as a win or lose for everybody, and this was wise enough, let me say it again, but I would say what we need to have now is a kind of atmosphere that would reflect positively on all of the parliamentary blocs, on all of the political parties in the country, as to go and to try to build a new future for the country. The problem has to do with the Western media and the Western governments that maybe need to play another agenda in the country, which would not be necessarily in favor of the 14th March. It would be for their interest and not for the interest of Lebanon.
Speaking of the Western media, let's see what New York Times had to say celebrating the events. Lebanon's election. It goes, good news in the Middle East is rare. So last weekend's parliamentary election in Lebanon stands out. Pro-Western forces scored a solid victory over Hezbollah that is also a major setback for the militant group's supporters in Iran and Syria. The voting gave the pro-Western March 14 coalition, which is led by the billionaire Sunni businessman Saad al-Hariri, 71 of parliament's 128 seats. The Hezbollah-led opposition won 57 seats.
For us, this is not a victory for the West. This is a victory, and we don't consider March 14 coalition to be a pro-West coalition. We are pro-Lebanon. This is it. Now, the Western media might be happy, moderately happy or sad. This is not the issue here. The issue here is that we represent part of the Lebanese population. So, as of course, as the other party in Lebanon, we both represent parts of Lebanon. There was an election. It was quite democratic, I think, by the belief of all the parties. The coalition of March 14 won. That is it. Then we have to build a nation together. We're not here like today to say we won or they lost or whatever. We have a nation to build. We are looking together towards a better future. I think we should try to build agreements on the things we agree on. The things we don't agree on, we should keep on discussing. However, it's time to rebuild a prosper nation. It's not time of talking about winning and losing. It's not time for bragging. It's time for building a nation. This is it. We don't really care what the Western media say. For us, we are pro-Lebanon, and it's good that, you know, of course, for us, it's good that we kind of won the elections, and now it's time we build the nation with the other parties that lost the election.
All right. Now, Reuters has also an interesting take. U.S. relieved at Lebanon election result, but who else is happy about election results in Lebanon? Another Reuters article, Saudis gleeful at Lebanon vote. Now look to Iran. Saudi-controlled Arab media could hardly restrain their glee as presenters and correspondents cracked jokes on Dubai-based Al Arabiya news channel, and papers ran boastful headlines on the blow to Hezbollah's leader, Hassan Nasrallah. After all, politics was not that domestic in Lebanon.
Lebanon has long been an arena for regional influences. This has never been manifested more than in the latest parliamentary elections. But the scenario now was not multinational forces, but rather multinational money.
The way it's visible, partly is by political support. You'll see countries like Saudi Arabia or Egypt or the United States supporting one side politically. And you'll see countries like Iran or Syria openly supporting another side in Lebanon. In addition, it manifests itself in financial support. It's quite clear that a lot of money, tens of millions, maybe hundreds of millions of dollars, came.
All influential countries are believed to have put much into the voting war, namely Saudi Arabia, which some describe as being in a battle of influence in Lebanon against Iran.
For many years, much of Saudi-dominated and funded Arab and Lebanese media outlets, world-class TV stations and newspapers, have portrayed the struggle in Lebanon as one against Iranian hegemony over Lebanon through Hezbollah.
Saudi Arabia is labeled as the staunch regional supporter of the pro-Western March 14th camp, which faced off against the opposition, which includes Hezbollah, a close ally of Iran.
The election result in Lebanon was seen as a victory or a positive thing by Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Egypt, the United Arab Emirates, the U.S., France, Europe. Certainly, they were happier with the March 14th victory. And certainly, I think Syria and Iran felt that, you know, they would have preferred that March 8 would have won. Yes, it's sort of a minor. I mean, one shouldn't exaggerate. It's not a major defeat or a major victory.
Amounts reaching $700 million were poured in by foreign governments to guarantee the victory of the Hariri-led coalition.
Head of Hezbollah Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah bluntly stated in post-election ceremony that some $700 million were lavishly spent in the last election, making it by far the most expensive.
Money was used abundantly in the elections, but the most dangerous side of this is buying votes. We could question the validity of the results when citizens are paid in order not to vote, and we will follow up this issue with the law.
Regional and even international powers stepped up their activity in Lebanon, which witnessed a landmark visit by U.S. Vice President Joseph Biden in the run-up for the legislative elections, which were held on June the 7th.
The Saudi funding was, I would say, 100 times more than the opposition funding. So in this meaning, there is an regional interference in Lebanese election. I think, if you like, Saudis played the proxy of the American to a certain extent. Of course, they have some autonomy of power, autonomy of decision, but they are very allied with the Americans. So I can conclude that Saudis, American also interfere in somehow in the election campaign in Lebanon.
Opposition politicians in Lebanon accused of Saudi Arabia of funneling money into the campaigns of politicians running alongside Mr. Hariri's son, Saad, who is now in the running to become Lebanon's next prime minister. Saudi officials have denied interference.
Well, it was a direct role by financing the pro-government parties and by actually drawing alliances, convincing certain groups like Jamaa Islamiya to withdraw from the elections in favor of, for example, Prime Minister Saniora in Saida and in other regions in favor of Saad Hariri's coalition. So, and they convinced them to vote for the coalition of Saad Hariri, even though they had only one runner for elections, who it was in Beirut, and he won the elections, but out of several candidates. So this is one example. So it was a direct intervention, and actually it was a direct pressure, not only by Saudi Arabia, but also by the United States, in order for the status quo to be maintained.
It's time to put behind us all the interferences and all the influences by foreign powers, even Arab countries. I do tell you, when we talk about Al-Arabiya, it has played a very negative role in the Lebanese elections and in the spreading the rumors and the bad lies everywhere. This is something that I heard even from people of the 14th of March themselves. They were not very happy about what Al-Arabiya was doing, because I believe this would not boil down to the interest of the Lebanese. So when you want to pinpoint certain articles or certain attitudes by certain media outlets about the elections, I believe, yeah, they were playing it this way. They wanted to depict it as a victory for one party or for one axe. I mean, like this sector of the moderate Arab countries against what they want to dub or call as extremist or anti-modernism. This is not true in any way.
The Daily Star also goes on. This propaganda, that is Saudi propaganda, according to the Daily Star, made its way to the international media. Even when reporters dispatched their stories from Beirut, copy editors casually added the essential cliches. This worldwide media support helped the Saad Hariri camp cut their campaign issue, that Hezbollah, with its weapons and fundamentalist ideology, were out to control Lebanon. The media almost always ignored the fact that major Christian factors were part of the opposition. Michel Aoun was still the leader of the largest Christian parliamentary faction, with 27 MPs against only 11 for Hezbollah. On the morning of June the 7th, when people headed to the polls, it sank in that a vote for Hariri camp was a vote for the West. Nowhere was it mentioned that Saad Hariri was no secularist or modernist, and that his regional supporter was conservative Saudi Arabia, where stability comes before anything else. The victory of Hariri was indeed a win for the Saudis, as one major news agency declared Saudis gleeful at Lebanon vote, and that being Reuters.
No, first, I don't agree that the win of the MOD 14th coalition is a win for Saudi Arabia. Now, to be realistic, we know that there are many interferences in the Lebanese politics. We know that the opposition was backed up in a way or another, probably financially, and also maybe moral support from Iran. This is a fact. I guess there's no point to trying to hide that. And at the same time, I guess the Hariri camp was also backed up by Saudi Arabia. And here, when we talk about the Hariri camp, we talked about one part of the March 14 coalition, because we and the Qatar party, or maybe other forces like the Lebanese forces and so on, we do not have the support neither of Saudi Arabia nor of Iran, nor most probably of any other outside country. Now, but overall, there were support for the majority and for the, if you want, for the other party in Lebanon. Now, going back to being honest and realistic about the issue, we do, and we say it with all honesty and with all respect, we do consider that Hezbollah winning the elections would have been a threat to the democracy in Lebanon, because we know that Hezbollah is an armed party, they have, if you want, the strength on the ground, and if they also had the strength inside the government, it would have made it almost impossible for anybody to, I don't know, maybe to say no to any of the things that Hezbollah was going to decide. Now, of course, also in the other party, there are Christian parties. There is MP Aoun that definitely represents a big part of the Christians. We're not here to deny that. However, we feel that democracy is better preserved by March 14 winning. We are going to be honest about this. We made the campaign based on that. We're not going to say today, yes, if any of the parties won, it would have been the same. No, we know that Hezbollah is already powerful. Hezbollah has arms. Hezbollah has money support. Hezbollah has everything. And having the majority would have maybe destroyed a certain equilibrium inside the country. We believe that Hezbollah having the force on the ground and March 14 having the majority makes a kind of an equilibrium that would help democracy prevail in Lebanon.
I do respect everything that he says, but I have to raise an objection or to oppose him in this point of view. Hezbollah would have never posed any kind of a threat or would have never caused any kind of an equilibrium in the Lebanese formula or equation for one simple reason. If Hezbollah and the opposition, because I totally respect the way he is presenting the whole thing, he is being very objective, and I really want to respect him and to praise this attitude of him. We don't hear much of this everywhere in the country, I mean in this side or in that side. And this is something good for him. But let me say one simple thing. We believe firmly and strongly that even if Hezbollah won the majority, Hezbollah and the other oppositions, which means Free Patriotic Movement, which means some of the Sunnis in the opposition, which means Amal Movement, which means a lot of others actually, many figures, many Sunni figures, and even Druzes, this does not mean that there would be a kind of a threat to the democracy or would be a kind of an equilibrium. Because Hezbollah has already said and pledged that if it wins the majority, it's ready to give the ensuring third for the other party, and they can use it to sabotage any decision that is going to be made, which they think it would be in favor of Iran or Syria, or it wouldn't be necessarily for the domestic interest of the country. This is something that we have pledged and we have promised, and we were very and publicly, openly, we acknowledged it in the media under the top leaders of the opposition. So he has no right to say that we would have ruined democracy or we would have posed this kind of threat. Again, when he talks about Hezbollah arms are only directed to the Israeli enemy. It has never been used to attack anyone. And if he wants to talk about the 7th of May clashes in the country, it only took 3 hours. And we all know, we don't want to go into that that time. Everybody knows the story. Even though I would say these elections, I mean the 14th of March media outlets and the Saudis and the money and everything, they were used to spread rumors that Hezbollah, there couldn't be any kind of free elections in the country under Hezbollah arms. So we have to disarm Hezbollah and then we would have honest and direct and sincere elections. Now, the elections has taken place and Hezbollah arms are not there. It was not used to intimidate anyone or it was not used to force a certain result. And the result was that the 14th of March coalition won, and we respected that, and we didn't use the arm, we didn't go to the street in order to sabotage or torpedo the results. I believe these are enough evidences and proofs that we don't want to destabilize the country for one reason or another. We only use our arms against the Israeli enemy, and when our resistance is going to be under threat, which will threaten the whole country, I believe.
Frequent visits from top U.S. administration figures, Vice President Joe Biden, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, and continuous interventions by Arab and foreign ambassadors posted in Beirut also made a difference in influencing the outcome of the Lebanese election, according to the Daily Star.
I'm also here to assure you that every member of the Lebanese army and every member of the Lebanese army, that the United States of America considers itself a partner in your effort to defend your sovereignty, the sovereignty of the Lebanese state and the security of all the people of Lebanon. That's why since 2005, the United States has committed more than a half a billion dollars to provide training and equipment, and why we've sat with you and Secretary Gates has talked about a multi-year plan. And that's why we continue to support you.
Now, to come back to the visits by Joe Biden, by top U.S. officials, by the posted ambassadors in the country, whether Americans or Saudis or Egyptians, well, this is something that you can read in the objective in the neutral media, that they were exercising a major role in the time coming up to the elections. This is not something that anyone can deny, not from our side and not from the other side. This has played a very major, important, influential role in the results that we saw. But we respect what happened, actually. They played it this way, and we have to start now from this stage to build the future.
Despite the results of the elections, Lebanon's sectarian structure makes a coalition government inevitable. With a seemingly calm regional atmosphere, Saudi Arabia and Syria nearing in, all sides could be forced. Granted, the veto power is yet to be seen and could well be determined by external factors.
So much for another edition of Fine Print. Always watch out for the Fine Print right here in Press TV with me, Amir Arfa.